Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Shakti Devi, and welcome to the Goddess Guidance Show on the Psychic Talk Radio Network. I am your co-host, and I have my co-host here, Nakia Layo. Nakia, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Hello, Shakti. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself tonight?
I am doing wonderfully. Hello, everyone in Radio Land. So glad to be here with you tonight. We've got a great topic tonight, right, Shakti?
Yes, we do. We are a live show tonight. Last week we had a recorded show. And so today, what will we be talking about, Nakhi? Can you let us know?
Absolutely. We will be talking about sacred spaces of and for the goddess.
Sounds intriguing.
Yeah, it's very intriguing because it's probably not going to be what you think it is. And then it could be. So it might be a little different than your preconceived notions to our listening audience, but I think it'll be something that you'll be able to have some takeaways from. So I'm excited.
Oh, that's great. Okay, I love topics with a twist. Okay, so everybody, this is a live talk-in show, like as I said before, and you get to call in with the number 714-816-4628. Let me say that one more time, 714-816-4628. We will be taking your calls today, and I invite you to chat with us during the show by dialing in. For those of you who are calling internationally, that means outside of the United States, you want to dial a 1 and then the number 714-816-4628. You can also chat with us online. You can go to psychictalk.net/chat, C-H-A-T, that's psychictalk.net/group. So make sure that you are logged into Facebook. And make sure that you are in the Psychic Network group in order to chat with us. We'd be happy to see you guys on there chatting with us. You're welcome to ask us questions there, too. If you don't want to do it live on the phone line, you can definitely ask us on psychictalk.net/chat. So one more time, that number is 714-816-4628, and if you are calling internationally, you want to dial that same number, but with the number 1 first. So if you want to find out a little bit more information about who the hosts are, please take a look at psychictalk.net/Nakhi, that's with the N as in Nancy, A-K-I. So you can find out more about her and who she is, that's psychictalk.net/Nakhi. If you want to learn about me, Shakti, you'll do the same internet address with the / Shakti. That's S-H-A-K-T-I. Again, that's S-H-A-K-T-I and that's psychictalk.net with the / Okay? So let us proceed with the show. Nakhi, tell us about these sacred spaces of the goddess and how it's not going to be exactly what we think it is.
Well, Shakti, I guess I'll say that there are two aspects that I want to talk about, two pieces of tonight's topic that make it all the more interesting. We want to talk a little bit about sacred space. Well, exactly what is sacred space? You know, you hear a lot of people saying it, and perhaps it might even be a bit cliche now to have sacred space or create sacred space, but sacred space, we'll get a working definition here, is any space or area that has been dedicated to a sacred, holy purpose. Okay, that's just a basic working definition. The emphasis here is specifically on sacred, because if you look at history, you look at ancient traditions, if you look at our many church services and worship services and temple services of today, those spaces are considered sacred. They're considered holy. I remember when I was a little girl, and I step outside and I might see one of the deacons smoking a cigarette, or, you know, hear somebody say something, one of the kids say something that wasn't necessarily a good word. And I remember thinking, oh, you're on church ground. Yes, you're doing these bad things. Because I had such a reverence for the fact that this was a holy, sacred site, even as a small child. But I think that that reverence is something to be noted, because these places actually have tangible, venerated energy from whatever deity or goddess or entity or tradition that you're honoring in that space. There is power in sacred space. So it's different things, temple, church, mosque. It's different titles for it. But the premise of the notion of something being set aside and deemed sacred is the same. That's the consistent thing. So we see that everywhere. We see that in the most ancient traditions. We can go all the way back to Sumeria and of course, Kemet, which is the original name, the true name of Egypt. We can go to many other tribes and places in Africa. We can go to China, Asia, Japan. We can go certainly the Hindus. They have many, many sacred temples. So we can look at those spaces and say, wow, now we might be able to appreciate them at a different level, knowing that there is energy and power and strength to be gained from just merely being there, just merely being there. Do you ever wonder, Shakti, why there are chapels in most hospitals? I mean, this thing.
No, I hadn't thought about that.
You know, there are chapels in most, if you think about our armed forces, they have chaplaincies in our armed forces. And all these things really point to the significance of allowing that sacred space, that space where you can go to find strength and to find comfort in time of need. Another common theme for the chaplaincies would be navigating life's changes, right? Navigating the changes.
Mm-hmm.
You have a loved one in the hospital, you have somebody ill, you have somebody, you know, who perhaps was a casualty of war. These are things where people find strength and comfort and guidance in sacred spaces and in their sacred traditions. Shakti, do you know of any temples offhand? I have some here. I was just wondering if you knew of any temples, perhaps. We've talked several times about going to India together. And what was the name of that goddess temple that we wanted to visit? Do you remember?
I'm not sure. You know, it's funny because in India they have so many temples. But there one, you know, it really kind of depends. They have, and what's really amazing about their temples is that it's an energy vortex. So it's a place that it wasn't just arbitrarily chosen. It's like, oh yeah, here's a patch of land, let's just build something. You know, it wasn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it usually is a sacred site. There's a reason why it was built. Something significant has happened there, or it's the energy, the natural energy. And what I really love about sacred places is that where you have people who have worshipped and have done ceremonies of, you know, devotion to the goddess over centuries, you know, all of that energy just builds up. So,
and that's what I was saying, that generated energy.
Right. Absolutely. And so there are lots of temples in India where they worship the goddess. It could be specifically a goddess temple, or it could be there are other gods and goddesses that are also there. There's a goddess, was it a Nambu Yank? I think it's Nambu Yanki is her name. She is, or Nambu is the shorter version of her name, and she is the goddess of herbs, of like medicinal herbs, and she's a healer. You know, that's one such place. And
another,
but there are others. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, no, no. I was just going to caveat with another such place. But go ahead. You have more places. Go ahead.
I was thinking about in West Africa with the Orisha and the Orisha, the female Orisha, which would be the goddesses there, how they're always connected to nature. So we were just talking about this, right? Oshun, the goddess of, there's a river Oshun that's there. They love Oshun there. And Nigeria in particular, there's a big Oshun festival in, around August, and you know, big arts festival and things of that nature. But there are people who go there and to the river, certain spots in the river, and they pray to her and they ask her for help. Naki, I think I shared a video with you. This was a long time ago, months ago, where this woman from Nigeria, she didn't have anything. You know, I think she didn't have a home. She didn't have a car. She didn't have much of anything. And she went to the Oshun River and just cried out to Oshun and said, "My goddess, if you would help me, you know, to get some of the things, the basic things that I need." And she really didn't have some of the basic needs that she, you know, food, shelter, that kind of stuff. He said, "I will promise to praise your name and tell people about you." And so she said, "Now I have a house. I have, or I don't know if it's a house or two and different cars and whatnot." And she says, "You know, Oshun has blessed me so much." For those of you who don't know who Oshun is, she's the goddess of wealth. She is the goddess of love as well. She's many things, but, you know, love and wealth is one. Like the fertility is another one. And she was blessed, and she takes people to the river and talks about the wonders of Oshun and how she has blessed her. And so she really kept to her promise. So it's a powerful thing, right?
Powerful. It's a definitely powerful thing. It's a definite powerful thing. Sacred space, Shakti can be so many things. And one of the things I know for sure is it makes a difference when you are allotting that space. It could be a quiet, inspiring corner. It could be a closet. It could be a moment of closing your eyes at your desk. It could be a little spot in your garden so that the fairies and the elementals can come and visit you. It doesn't have to be elaborate. You know, to take it a step further, I believe that we can dedicate our bodies, you know, We're living temples, we're living vessels, and we can be that sacred space. Our bodies house our soul, and our souls are sacred. So we are the sacred space, and our bodies are temples. And so when we approach it from that way, we get a chance to say, if I'm sacred, we'll be more conscious of the things we put in our bodies. We'll be more conscious of how we treat our bodies. We'll be more conscious of the things we say to ourselves. Because self-talk is one of the things that will destroy any endeavor that you have, any desire that you have. If your self-talk is not positive and up, you know, lifted high, meaning a high thought, a thought for the good of all, including you, you won't really get much traction as far as manifesting things or acquiring the things, drawing the things that you desire in your life. So it's a wonderful way to consider what sacred space is, especially when we think about ourselves, us being dedicated as such.
That's really powerful. I have a question to ask you.
Sure.
When you, I know that you meditate, you know, on a regular basis. Do you often visualize, like have a visualization during your meditations? Do you ever engage in that?
Absolutely, Shakti. I think visualization is one of the key steps into getting you into the receiving mode, if you will, for the ask, believe, receive formula to acquire what you want to, you know, receiving your heart's desires. If you are visualizing it, acting as if the thing that you desire is already a part of your life, you already have
right.
it. Excuse me. If you're looking for, say you're looking for finances. All right, don't just
right.
ask for finances. What would you do with the finances? How would you feel with the finances? That's the thing that you want to visualize. And if you visualize it to the point that it is absolutely so real in your imaginary state, in your mind's eye, if it's so real there, it has no choice but to materialize in a tangible form. It has no choice but to become real on this dimension for you because you've already seen. And that's the notion of as above, so below. That's the idea of bringing down the things that the universe has for us and actualizing them here on this planet. So, yes, Shaka, visualization is powerful.
You're absolutely right. And the reason why I ask that is that I have, you know, I have, you've been to my room, right? I have lots of stuff, stuff, and lots of dust.
Mm-hmm.
And
I love her room. It's like a library.
It is. It's very much like a library. And sometimes, you know, I may not feel as if I can go to the altar. You know, I have altars to the goddess and, you know, different archetypes and things of that nature. You know, it could be, it's just early in the morning. I love to do meditation early in the morning before the sun comes up. So it's a very powerful time. But the reason why I was asking you about the visualization part is that I have in the past have visualized a sacred space for the goddess. Like I have seen myself in, it's almost like cave-like or in one of the pyramids of ancient Egypt, and I'm standing before the statue of Sekhmet. Or Isis, you know, or I mean, Aset, right? Or it could be Het-Hurt or Het-Heru, who is Hathor. You know, I like what you say about our own bodies, our own minds are that sacred space because you can, if you can't get to a sacred space, you know, if it's too far or you don't know where one is or how to get there, and you're not able to create it within your own physical space. You still have your mind, and you can create the temple of the goddess there. Yeah. I was just wondering if you've ever had that kind of experience, too, because that's something that I've done from time to time.
Absolutely, Shaki. I think you were doing a little bit more than visualization, though. I think you were on a shamanic journey. And that is another powerful tool. It's an advanced
right.
technique to really get you connected with nature. You know, one of the things I know for a fact is that nature can be your sacred space. It is my sacred space. If I don't get outside and get around some trees, I've got about 3 weeks, that's top, of not being able, I'm serious, of not being able to really just immerse myself in nature. And here's what happens. I start to literally feel I start to literally feel those, I call them emotional EMFs. And let me explain what I mean by that. I start to feel it. Because, you know, EMFs are kind of crazy for us, right? We don't need them. The waves and the energy and all that, it's not really good for us. And it definitely disrupts our auric field. Okay, I'm going to take it a little further. The EMFs for me, emotional EMFs, are when I can sense and feel everybody's tips and quirks and what's going on, and I become ultra, ultra sensitive, and I don't really want, I can't really explain it, you know. I'm already too sensitive to watch the news, so what I do is I read the news. I subscribe to NPR, I subscribe to New York Times, I think. I get a couple of major publications, and I just skim them for the big things, but excuse me. One of the things that I know about is that it really disturbs me if I don't get a chance to recharge and ground all of that excess energy back into Mother Earth and allow her to transmute it for me and repurpose me and strengthen me and reconnect me to my source. You know, it's just like plugging a lamp into the socket. If you don't get the socket, the lamp can have a new bulb, it could be a new lamp. But if you don't give it the source, the power source, you still won't have any light. For me, nature is that power source. And so you went to nature, you went to sacred spaces, and undoubtedly, Shafi, you were able to get an energetic transmission while you were in your vision, while you were visioning. And
yeah,
you were able to glean some strength from that sacred space. Because we understand there's really no time or space. So past and present are running together simultaneously. We understand that in the big scheme
right.
of things. And so you were able to glean strength, excuse me, right in your bedroom without leaving the comfort of your home. You went all the way to Egypt. You went all the way to Canada.
Yeah.
And pulled strength from that sacred space. That is powerful. That is powerful. And it goes to show you exactly the power of creating sacred space, living sacred space, honoring sacred spaces, and then knowing that
mm-hmm.
there are places for you to recharge.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
It's really yep. interesting. I'm just thinking about the differences between you and I, and you love nature. When you were here, you were like on the deck all the time. Soaking
oh,
in the energy.
Yeah, I love it.
You were singing, and you were just in your element. You could tell. And me, it's funny. Like, I like nature. I love nature.
Mm-hmm.
But I really love, I think if I'm going to do nature, and if the weather is right, I'm like a water
mm-hmm.
person. I love water. Water rejuvenates me. I have so much fun. But
uh-huh.
I'm also very, I would say, introvert. You know, I'm very much an introvert in terms of my spiritual practice. Like, I can,
mm-hmm.
like you said, you know, go to the Egyptian temples and,
mm-hmm.
you know, worship whomever there, you know, Sekhmet, the lion-headed
mm-hmm.
goddess, or I can
mm-hmm.
go to an Indian temple. All I really need to do is look at pictures of a location, and I can, through my meditation, just step right
mm-hmm.
into it. And so I'm kind of like the
mm.
shamanic. I must have been a shaman somewhere in my lifetime or something.
Oh, no doubt.
It's really easy, really
mm-hmm.
easy for me to do. And I know that you've also had, you know, it's interesting. I'm sorry, let me go back, because there was something that you had stated which I hadn't really thought about, between visualizing and shamanic practice. Because you were making journeying, right. There's that delineation. Can you say a little bit
mm-hmm.
more about that? I love the way that you had brought that out.
Absolutely. The idea of the shaman or the medicine man or woman is that these are people who walk easily and effortlessly between the two worlds. Okay. So they walk between the elemental world, this third dimensional dense world, the higher planes, right? Remember, we just said that there's no past, no present, no future. It's all running simultaneously together. So
right.
these shamans, these medicine men, they're able to easily navigate the varying dimensions and pull wisdom from each of those dimensions and then bring them back to the third dimension of the present reality for healing
mm-hmm.
and transformation and power, actualization.
Mm-hmm.
So the notion of a shaman and being so connected to nature, most shamans traditionally were indigenous. So we know with the West, once the West gets hold of something, you can imagine the imagination of what happens, a big smorgasbord becomes. But originally,
right.
indigenously, these people had ancient wisdom from the herb family, from the crystal family,
mm-hmm.
from the animal kingdom, excuse me, from the weather, right? All of this, all of those facets of nature have messages for us. And so the shaman, he or she moves through these varying dimensions and worlds, gathering messages to bring to us that are of this world, meaning the physical part of the world, the earth, right? Mother Nature
mm-hmm.
and all her inhabitants, right? And
right.
then they're not of this world, meaning things, spirit world that betrays us in a moment, in an instant. So, Shakti, your ability to actually traverse those varying dimensions, like I said before, that's an advanced skill. But because you're mm-hmm. able to, you've been meditating for quite a while, so your third eye is probably open. So that's, mm-hmm. again, that's mm-hmm. an advanced skill. But you're able to go there because, A, you probably were one in a past life, and, B, you have some ancient wisdom to share. Even if it's just for yourself. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Ancient wisdom that will change you, and then perhaps you'll have a message for the masses. And I think that is mm-hmm. a beautiful thing because it's so easy to forget about the power of the old ways. We're not old, Shakti, but when I say the old ways, I mean the traditions and the way things were done. Let's be clear about where technology and modernism has taken us. Everything mm-hmm. that is today came on the backs of that was.
Mm-hmm.
So you see these medications and you see Big Pharma. Okay, you see Big Pharma, but what actually is pharmacology? Pharmacology is herbology. It's herbalism.
Mm-hmm.
It's the
mm-hmm.
study of plants. It's botany. That's what pharmacology is. Because mm-hmm. I submit to you that for every ailment, if you will, physical or otherwise, there is a natural homeopathic
remedy.
Solution for. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I believe that like I know my name is Nakia Lyle. And so
mm-hmm.
there's a lot to say about modern technology and that's fantastic, medical advances. I work in self-care. So there's a lot to be said for the advancements in those areas, but I cannot forget. I would be remiss to forget the power in the ways of our ancestors. I would be remiss.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Then if you don't mind.
Not at all.
All of this that you're talking about really reminds me of this story. I used to be very interested in essential oils. And I do love essential oils still. Usually mm-hmm. lavender is like lavender sends me to heaven. I mean, that's, you know, if I smell lavender, my whole world is great. So,
mine
that's
too.
My little,
yep.
My little thing there. But what's interesting, I read a story when I was involved in, I think it was Young Essentials or something like that, one of the essential oil
Young
companies
Young
years
Living.
Ago.
Young Living.
Young Living. That's right, Young Living.
Mm-hmm.
There was a story mm-hmm. of, I'll call her a living goddess because she was a mother whose son was in a terrible accident at a construction site. Like he had broken bones and stuff. But
mm-hmm.
because of his mother and her involvement with essential oils, he believed in it so much that he told the hospital, do not give me, I don't want any services from you. I don't want you guys to help me to do anything. It was amazing. I was
mm-hmm.
like, what? Like, I would never dream of doing that. I'm like, no, keep me in the hospital, mend my bones, do what you got to do. But he was like,
mm-hmm.
no, I am going home, and my mother is going to apply essential oils and heal me. And she was, you know, they discharged him from the hospital. This was like somewhere in France, right? Discharged him from the
mm-hmm.
hospital. He went home. She worked essential oils. Now, it took a while, but they said in about a year he was able to walk. All of this based on the oils that she used and her, like you said, ancient knowledge. Because who in there, like for me, like I wouldn't be, like, there's no way I would ever leave the hospital. I just give a broken bones and stuff. I'm just not, you
mm-hmm.
know, I'm that's just me. You know, that's my personality.
Mm-hmm.
But this woman had such deep reverence and understanding of the oils and how they work that they actually mended many of his broken bones. And that's amazing. You know, I was like, wow, you know, I don't know if I have that kind of strength. But as you said, she was walking in her, you know, in her strength and her ancestral knowledge because essential oils come from the plants, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's so powerful, Shakti. What a great share. But I'm with that lady. I ordered some essential oils and a diffuser about a week and a half ago because, as you could probably hear, I have some respiratory issues here in D.C. It's smoggy, foggy, and everything above that.
Mm-hmm.
I struggle breathing here sometimes. So I said, you know, I don't really want to take this Claritin every day. I'm not interested in having to do that, you know.
Right.
So what can I do? Again, the ancient ways. I'm all about it. So
right.
I use essential oils in my practice as a ritualist, but I mm-hmm. never once used them for myself in the notion of healing and, you know, like for instance, working on my respiratory issues. So
mm-hmm.
I'm excited, Shafi. I'll let you know what I come up with, and if I get in the laboratory and create any oils, I'll be able to let you know. But it's power in it, and guess what that is? That is creating sacred space. You have to get in a mindset to hear the ancestors, to pull the knowledge from those realms for creation of something like that. Of course, you can read
right.
a book, but even if you don't put your power in it, the Yorubas call it the ashe. If you don't put your ashe in it, or your personal
mm-hmm.
power, your spirit in it, that coupled with the divine and the power of the plant or the oil, I mean, you have a win-win-win situation that way. Right?
Mm-hmm,
so you
mm-hmm.
want to create a sacred space to even create. You know, you hear people, think about artists. When I think about artists, I know I am one. And when I think about, you know, when I was performing and doing shows, there were certain things that I would do. Of course, I would do a vocal warm-up, breathing exercises. Oftentimes, I would stretch, you know,
mm-hmm.
get limber. You know, I would prepare myself. And I think that's what we're doing. We're preparing ourselves to be
right.
that sacred space. Shaka, I have a question for you. What does sacred or spiritual mean to you? You've been throwing that word sacred space around. What does it mean to
so
you?
So what does sacred mean to me?
Spiritual, yeah. What does that mean?
Oh, okay. So, sacred is something that you have a reverence for, right? There are a lot of things
Perfect.
That can be sacred, whether it's a space, it's your person or your body, your mind
mm-hmm.
is sacred, you know, can be sacred. It could be a place in nature. It just really depends upon a person. Some people, if you have the Christian faith, believe that the cross is a sacred symbol and it has power. You know, it could be a Shiva Lingam if you're in India.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be all kinds of things, symbols and things of that nature that are sacred. So it's something that I have reverence for. Spiritual
mm-hmm.
can take on a lot of different meanings. It's not doesn't necessarily mean sacred. It just, in a lot of ways, it can mean, like, not religious. Like, spiritual is where you have a connection with something that is, how can I say? I don't want to say it in a way that scares people, but like something that's invisible to the eye. There's something that's beyond just our physical body and our physical
mm-hmm.
world. There's a being, a consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Some people think of it as consciousness. Some people think of it
mm-hmm.
as a being, a celestial being or divine being. It's
yeah.
not religious necessarily because religion can have spiritual elements in it, but a lot of times it's, in some cases it can be kind of like a list of behaviors, right? There's a certain kind
mm-hmm.
of way you're supposed to act in a particular religious space or whatnot. Spiritual
yes.
doesn't
mm-hmm.
really address that issue. But you can have, you know, you can have like at a, let's say a religious ceremony, you can have a spiritual effect, you know, where someone like gets the
right.
spirit. Or someone feels
mm-hmm.
like the goddess is talking to them, or an ancestor,
mm-hmm.
or something like that. So it's a
mm-hmm.
little bit otherworldly. It's a kind of term. It usually means non-religious in a sense, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's how I define, you know, those two particular words. So Nakeem, we are kind of at the bottom of the hour, and I hope you don't
okay.
mind me going through some upcoming shows for Psychic Talk Network. So everybody, Psychic Talk has a show every day, actually, every day of the week. So that's really something that's really cool about that. We have amazing shows that are coming up, and I'm going to let you know what those are. So tomorrow, Saturday on May 19th, we have an open lines and reading show with hosts Mary Brown and Dax Carlisle. So
Yay.
What it means by open lines is that you get to set the topic. So you can ask any questions about your favorite psychic subject, you know, tarot, numerology, spirituality, Reiki, energy healing, hypnosis, et cetera, et cetera. So tomorrow it'll occur on Saturday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern, and 7 p.m. if you are in the London time zone. And then on Sunday, we have another great show that is called the Worldwide Metaphysical Tribe Networking Event. And we have a special guest, Deb Frew. And basically, let's see, Dax Carlisle will also be hosting Deborah Frew. She is a long-term friend of Dax, and she is a member of the Tarot Guild. She's a tarot teacher and a business coach for metaphysicians. Deb and Dax will be discussing Deb's upcoming annual networking event, the Worldwide Metaphysical Tribe. And they'll be taking your calls. So definitely you want to check that out. And that's on Sunday, May 20th at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and 7 p.m. London. And then on Monday, we have another fabulous show, and it's called Angelic Realms. And so if you love angels, please come to this show. It is going to be on Monday, May 21st at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, and 8 p.m. London. And on Angelic Realms, they're having a special guest named Sarabella Olivia. She is a certified master angel practitioner, and so she's going to be in the spotlight as an angel practitioner. So if you don't even know what an angel practitioner is or what they do, please make sure that you call in, tune in to that show to find out more. They're going to talk about Sarabella and her journey and how you can learn to work with angels. So that's very, very cool. That's that spiritual thing we were talking about, those otherworldly beings, right? And on Tuesday, we're having another fabulous show called The Power of Three, Hope, Wisdom, and Healing. And this is hosted by Rose Fullhorst, Fiona Millar, and Vivian Aubin. And they will do an open lines and reading show, and it's basically whatever is on your mind. So this is Tuesday, May 22nd. You can just call in and ask them whatever questions you have. You can ask for a mini reading or, you know, just chat about something that is of interest to you. That's going to happen at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, and 6 p.m. London time zone. And then on Wednesday, we have another fabulous show. It is called Tarot Insider. And I've listened to this show myself because I'm very interested in getting back into traditional tarot. So this is a wonderful show for people who have an interest in the tarot cards, or they just want to call in and get a mini reading. You can do that as well. So Tarot Insider on Wednesday will have a guest, Naomi Corbett. I think it's Kelsall. That's her name. And let's see. She is the founder of the Tarot by Naomi Facebook group. So if you're on Facebook, check it out. Naomi Corbett Kelsall is an accomplished tarot reader who was one day inspired by spirit to create the Tarot by Naomi Facebook group. And right now that group has about 18,400 members. So you want to definitely attend that show. It's going to happen on Wednesday the 23rd at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and 7 p.m. London. And then on Thursday, guess we have the Soul Sisters. And they will be talking about healing yourself and others. So Soul Sisters is hosted by Sue Schumacher and Ann Anula, I think it is. I'm sorry, Ann, if I mispronounced your name. Hopefully I didn't. And so what they'll be doing is they'll be talking about healing yourself and others, you know, what are the different healing modalities that are available. And they will be taking your call. So that's a perfect time to call in and to learn about healing and to call in. There are a lot of us who need healing out there in this world, and so you want to make sure you get that show. That's on Thursday, May 24th, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, and 5 p.m. London. And then Friday, guess what? So Friday, May 25th, it's going to be Goddess Guidance again. So just to let you guys know, we are actually changing the time of our
new time.
So we had to have a change. Now, Key is back on the East Coast, and so it's a little bit better if we have her do the show a little bit earlier, not 11 o'clock at night. So we will be doing another Goddess. That's right. We'll be doing Goddess Guidance show at 5 o'clock Pacific time on Friday, which will be 8 o'clock Eastern, and 1 a.m. in London. So London, you know, before it was like 4 a.m., so, and you didn't have an excuse to be on, but now you have an excuse to be on. You can stay up to 1 a.m. That's not a big deal for you guys out there.
Oh, yeah.
So next Friday, we will be talking, introducing another goddess. Her name is Het Heru. Her Greek name is Hathor, and she is an ancient Egyptian goddess of love and dancing and music, and we're just going to have a ball. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a ball. She really was like the goddess way back when. She was even popular before Isis Aset became, you know, the popular goddess, the more of the international popular goddess, actually. So we're going to have a lot of fun doing that. So we you know, definitely hope that you guys will be joining us. So I just went over a whole list of what is coming up this week. And if you didn't catch everything or you weren't sure what I talked about, just go to psychictalk.net/upcoming. And that will let you know what the shows are coming up. So we usually schedule them about a week out, so you know what is coming up for the next week. And guess what? We are also on Twitter. If you want to follow us on social media, you can find us at psychictalk.net/Twitter, and that's the Psychic Talk social media site. And we also have a Facebook group just for you guys. You guys can come and chit-chat with us. Ask us questions or post about good things. You know, come and have some fun. Meet us and meet. When I say us, I mean you can meet and chat with all of the hosts of all of the different calls in that group. Talk about anything psychic, right? You know, you can talk about past shows or upcoming shows and things of that nature. So join us, psychictalk.net/Facebook, and join the Psychic Talk Facebook group. Guess what? If you are like, hey, I could do this show, I can be like Shakti or Naki, or even if you think you could do it better than we can, we're always open to that. if you want to be a host, if you've even thought about hosting your own podcast show and you're definitely interested in joining Psychic Talk Radio, go to psychictalk.net/host, and that is H-O-S-T-S. And you can learn more about how you can host a radio show. And actually, I'll just put in a little thing in there that we are looking for astrologers, like people who have been doing astrology for a long time. We would love to have astrologers on Psychic Talk Radio Show. I don't want to discourage other people because there are other psychic folk out there. So, you know, please go to psychictalk.net/host. to find out how you can be, you know, on the radio show. And definitely if you're an astrologer and very experienced, please contact us. We would love to have an astrologer or two on Psychic Talk Network. So if you are interested in contacting Naki, Naki has a wonderful goddess. She is a goddess on earth here, and she has so many wonderful skills. I'll ask you to talk a little bit about that, but we're going to after this, you probably should take some calls if you don't mind. But if you would love to converse with Naki, go to psychictalk.net/Naki. That's it with an N, as in Nancy, A-K-I. And you can contact her there, or you can actually send her an email. And her email is naki@psychictalk.net. If you are in love with me, I thank you so much. You can come in. Chit-chat with me and learn more about me at psychictalk.net/Shakti. That's S-H-A-K-T-I. I appreciate the love. If you want to send me an email, feel free. My email is Shakti, S-H-A-K-T-I, at psychictalk.net. So we are two wonderful goddesses who are here for you, and we have a very strong heart to help people. So we hope that you give us the opportunity to do that. Reach out to us. You know, we'd be happy to help. Isn't that right, Maxie?
That is absolutely right, Shakti. I couldn't have said it better myself. We're going to have to do a part two on our sacred spaces because I have some more to share.
Oh, my goodness.
You.
Yes. Well, you know, we might be able to do that for the next show. Maybe we can push the Heru back a little bit and we could talk more about sacred spaces. I think we could just go on forever on that topic. So let's definitely do that. Let's make a plan to continue that conversation. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to go with. So one
Absolutely.
Last thing. One
okay.
last thing for everybody. If you, you know, I've said a lot of things right here, so if you're not sure, how do I find out about all this information that Shakti just read off a little bit quickly, go to psychictalk.net, and that's our main page, and you'll be able to see all of the upcoming shows. You'll see archive shows. You get to see all the hosts. You can see the schedule of the shows. All of that information is there if you're interested in being a host yourself. I think there's also a button for you to click. That is our main page, and that will give you access to everything. So are we ready for a caller? Let's have a caller. Is there a caller available? Let's see.
Let's take a caller. Caller.
Any callers?
Hi.
Hi. Who is this?
Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Where are you calling from?
I'm in New Jersey.
New Jersey. Wonderful. So, Laura, what can we do for you today? What's your burning question or what can we do for you today, Laura?
Okay, so I've been looking for a job. And I had a phone screen today that I think went pretty well. And it's with a recruiter for a company. And he said he was going to be passing it on to the hiring manager and that I should hear something next week. Do you see me getting this job?
Okay, that's a wonderful question. So Maki and I are going to shuffle our cards. We're focusing in on you and what the job situation is. Just give us a moment. You might hear me shuffling cards here. Naki, did you want to go first?
No, you go ahead and go first, Naki. I'll wrap it up.
Okay. Well, let's see. I pulled out a bunch of cards here. Let me take a look here. I'm using a new deck, so I just ask for your patience here. Right.
Okay.
Okay. That's interesting. Okay, let me take a look at this other one here. Responsible. All right. Okay, so I pulled out three cards here, and one of them talks about synthesis. And what it basically says is that you're kind of, it seems like you're in a situation where you're kind of bringing things together, taking different aspects of yourself, your work life and whatnot, and bringing them in together into a position. Can I ask you what the position is? I'm just curious.
It's a managerial position.
Oh, great. Okay, so it's a managerial position. So that's what this is interesting because the card that I have on synthesis, this is exactly what a manager does, is that they bring these different parts into a whole in order for, you know, in order to help provide organization, to help provide support in a way for employees, right? Sometimes if you have an employee who is working on something or, you know, who may need some kind of development in a particular area, this mm-hmm. is definitely something that a manager will look out for, right? I mean, I'm sure you already know the definition of that. So I'm seeing that more as a good connotation in terms of you know, you in this particular position. I'm also getting that it's a position that has a very high level of responsibility. Is this something that's new for you or something that you've done before?
It's something that I've done before, and the description of the job fit me really well compared to what I've done in the past. So it was a good...
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's so, would you say, I'm getting kind of the sense that it's even a bump up to what you've done. Like you said, it's different from what you've done before. I'm getting the sense that it's even somehow better than the kind of work that you've done before, or even in terms of money wise.
Well,
is that about right?
Kind of, because it would be stable. It's going to be long term. So I thought it was going to be like a contract. But implied that he actually said that it's actually going to be more considered full time working for the company. It's like working as a consultant for this company, but it's at their client site. And then, so it would be stable and have benefits and everything, and that's really what I want.
Yeah, I'm seeing that. It's like a high, like I said, it seems like a high-level position, not necessarily like an executive or something, but yeah, this is a job of, you know, great responsibility. It's even more than what you've experienced in the past. And the reason why I say that is that, I'm using the Goddess Oracle deck, and there's a goddess who's standing here. She has a sword in her hand and a shield, and she has a... just the way in which she's holding the shield, it's like this very strong sense of stability, right? And responsibility as well. And then the third card that I got, it was about wisdom. I mean, all of this is looking very positive to me. I'm not seeing anything that seems to be negative. So I would say that you have a very strong possibility for you to get this job. What I'm seeing also is wisdom. So these wonderful things that are coming to play. Remember, I talked about synthesis and how you're bringing different parts together. It's kind of like what a manager does, right, to create organization and things of that nature. But I'm also seeing that these are different parts of yourself. So you have wisdom that's also involved. It seems like you're a very wise person. Not everybody can be a manager, be good at that position, but you seem to be a person that has this kind of knowledge that you can tap into to really be effective at this job. So I'm seeing some good things here. Let's ask Maki. Maki, what do you have? What are you seeing?
Yes. Well, I am using my Aset Oracle tonight. Aset, Isis, you may call her, Oracle tonight. And the cards that came up, I pulled two. The first one was stay true in being your power. And this is speaking to divine authority. And when you have a position in leadership, in many ways you become more than just a manager on the job. You become a life coach. You become a confidant, depending on the type of company and work relationships you develop. So in this sense, I agree with Shakti in that the chances for you to get this job are very strong. And I'm also getting a sense that it's bigger than you just getting a job and earning money, because this is about divine authority. So I believe you're being sent on this particular job as an assignment, in a sense that you'll be a light. So you'll be a boss, you'll be a manager, but you'll also be a light, and you'll be able to shine your light for others to see in your workplace. Now, I'm not talking about religious dogma or, you know, any type of proselytizing, but kindness. Love. Love is my religion. That's what Bob Marley said. So that idea of walking in divine authority, you have the authority.
Mm-hmm.
Now, take it up to the level of the divine aspect. And the second card I pulled was Kartuchi, and this is about the divine names of power. Do you do any chanting or any mantra, or do you pray, or are you comfortable sharing that?
Yes. I'm very comfortable with all of that. I pray, and I've been attuned to Reiki, so I'm all in alignment, and I have spirits around me because I get a lot of signs. So I really want this job, and I just have to do well and connect with the hiring manager.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's this card, Divine Names of Power, is basically telling you to speak. So shift your language from, I want this job, I really want this job, to, I give thanks for this job, and I walk fully in my divine authority. Let that be your mantra. And say that like you mean it. Say it from a deep place inside you. And that's when you'll get the call telling you to come in and fill in your new hire paperwork.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. Yeah,
please
thank you, Bill.
When you get the job. You're welcome, Laura. Please call us back a little slow when you start dating, okay?
I will let you know. Yes, thank you very
much.
You're
thank
very
you.
Welcome.
Have a good night.
You too.
You as well.
Okay, how about our next caller? Hello, is there another caller there?
Come here.
Hi, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Yeah. Hello? Hi.
Yes.
My name is Maria. I call you from New York.
So,
do
Maria
you hear me?
From New York? Yes, we can hear
you. Yes, you can talk a little bit more loud, please.
Okay, so
hi, Maria.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great.
The reason I call is I got a project with Marie, the lady, the name of Marie, we work. I want to know if she's going to sell it and she's going to be able to work with her again.
So let me try to understand. It's a little bit difficult to understand. You said that there is a projector.
Yes. Projector, yes.
Okay, and this is, and you're wondering if the person who has this projector is going to sell it or what? What was the other?
So they're going to sell it, and then they're going to work all together again if it is selling this one.
Okay, so if they're going to sell it or if it's going to work, is that what you're asking?
Yeah, if it is ever going to work again.
Okay, if it's going to work again. Okay, we'll shuffle our cards and try to find out what's going on with this projector. We're just taking a moment to shuffle here.
Yes.
Okay, Naki, how about you? Let's start with what you see.
Well, Ms. Maria, the projector is available to you. I don't know. I'm not getting anything specifically about the lady or the man selling the projector, but more so about your ability to manifest exactly what you need in any given moment.
Can I ask you, can you talk a little bit more loud? I know you're that good. I got a cold.
Okay, can you hear me now? Is that better?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
What I was saying, you're welcome. Yes, ma'am. What I was saying is that this is really not so much about the person in the projector selling it or not selling it. This is about your ability to manifest what you need at any given moment in time. The card that I pulled was the Flower of Life, and that's speaking specifically to divine manifestation. If you have a need, if you have something that you need for work or for pleasure, it doesn't really matter. You have something that you need, you desire. The idea is for you to get that picture clear in your mind, see it, see yourself with a projector. Describe all of the functionality, the bells, the whistles, all the things that you want this projector to have. And actually see yourself using this projector. And start working with it and having it and owning it, and then you will bring the projector to you easily and effortlessly. And it doesn't matter if somebody's going to sell something or not. You have what you need that's divinely for you. So you want what's yours. And so I encourage you to, you know, not be so tied into this particular projector. The idea is for you to get a projector. And I believe there's a projector available to you, whether or not this person sells that one, okay? The one that you're referencing. So, Shakti?
Yes, I like the way you, we're definitely on the same page here, because I'm looking at the card that I pulled out was Artemis, and Artemis was an archer, right? She used a bow and arrow, and it's all about, you have to be very clear about what it is that you want, and like you said, all the bells and whistles, and seeing yourself using it, and all the things that you need to use it for. That you have to be very clear about that. So with an archer, someone who hunts or they're going to use the bow and arrow to hit a target, they have to be very clear about what they're doing. Not, you can't be blurry about it, you know. Also, there's another card that I pulled out was about doubt, and it's about if you're doubting yourself in terms of, is this the right one? Will it work? Blah, blah, blah. All of these kind of things, what happens with that is that it creates a block within you. And that all goes back to that whole issue of clarity. Be clear about what it is that you want. Don't, you know, you can always ask questions. There's nothing wrong with that. If you're going to buy something, right, you want to ask them, okay, I want you to show me that it works, right? Show me that it does. This is what I need it for. I need it for this, this, and that. You show me that this works, and then I'll buy it or something. You see what I mean? So, you know, don't, you can ask questions. Just don't doubt yourself and your ability to choose, you know, what it is that you're looking for. Okay? Does that help you, Maria?
Yes. Yes. Too much to talk about it. Yes. I agree with you.
Okay,
I agree with you.
Wonderful.
Yeah. You know,
well, I believe
I guess
that you have that projector, Maria. I'm sorry.
I can ask a little favor, please.
Sure.
You see, she's going to go this year in Italy. Make my daughter. Please.
What?
So what,
I can't
what's
understand, Maria.
Would
you say it again?
She's going to go in Italy. Please.
Okay. She, you're asking whether or not your daughter is going to Italy or if you're worried about
she's
her being
She's
going
to go in Italy,
Italy
this year. Yeah. This year.
Okay, so you're wanting to find out if she is going to Italy this year, is that right?
Me, yeah. Me and my daughter.
Oh, you and your daughter. Okay, all right, great.
Yes,
all right,
please.
So we have time, Naki, for another card pull for this one. So let's take a look at what this trip to Italy, if you guys are going and what's going to happen with that. Okay, let's see. All right. Okay, so this is interesting. One of the things that I'm getting in this reading, I just pulled three cards here, and one of them is about synthesis. I said this in, with the last caller, about how you're having to pull things together in order to make this happen. So, and really that's pointing out to the things that you need to do in order to make this trip happen with you and your daughter. You have the full power to make this trip happen. You just have to be make sure that you do what you need to do, you know, pull your resources together, talk to whomever you need to talk to in order for this trip to occur. You know, maybe it's even a conversation with your daughter. You know, make sure you're planning it out and things of that nature. And then also, again, going back to what I talked to earlier about the doubt and being unsure, you really need to focus on centering yourself, Maria. So one of the things that you can do is spend just a few minutes a day. It could be 5 minutes. It could be 10 minutes. And just breathe, okay? Just listen to yourself breathe. You don't have to do anything else. You don't have to think about anything. You don't have to chant anything. Give yourself some space to just breathe and breathe fully, because I'm getting kind of a sense that you're a little bit nervous about things, you know, just in terms of what the kind of questions that you're asking and the energy that's around it. When you do that and you center yourself, Maria, what that's going to do is that it's going to really help you to focus and not be too worried about all these other things that are going on. So, you know, taking the trip is, I don't see it as being a no necessarily. You can do it, but number one, you'll need to pull your resources together, whatever that means, whether you're talking with people, planning the trip out, having a conversation with your daughter, you know, whatever that consists of. But you also need to center yourself. That's the main card that I'm getting. And you need to do some breath work just to kind of bring your nervousness down. I'm feeling like a lot of kind of tension and stress and worry. Is that, how are you feeling about what I'm saying right now?
Yeah, no, you're right. I'm a bit nervous here. You're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah. So, Maria, all you have to do is breathe, my dear. Just take 5 minutes, and then you can go from 5 minutes to 10 minutes. Just listen to yourself breathe and take big, deep breaths. Big breaths. Just breathe in and breathe out, and that'll help to calm you down so that you can focus on the things that you need to focus on this trip with your daughter. It sounds like it's going to be a wonderful trip. Naki, what about you? What are you getting?
Well, this particular deck that I chose tonight, it's a little interesting for yes and no questions. It's more narrative. It's more of an oracle. So I pulled out the pendulum, and the pendulum gave me a no. But I'm going to say to you, Miss Maria, that if you do what Shakti just suggested, because I believe that we can shift our reality. I've gotten many no's and turned them into yeses. So with that in mind, everything that Shakti just said was dead on point. You're very anxious around this, around life in general. You have to know, Miss Maria, beyond a shadow of a doubt that this universe is plentiful. And that the universe desires to give you good things just as you desire good things. The whole universe is conspiring for your good. And so when you start thinking along these lines, when you start knowing that everything you need will be divinely provided for you, then the anxiety falls away. The stress falls away because no matter what it looks like or what you could possibly be experiencing, you know that no matter what happens, it's going to turn out for your good. It's going to turn out for your good. It's going to turn out for your best interest. And if you know that in a very deep place, the anxiety will fall away. You will start to see the things that you need to fall into your lap because there's that divine trust. So I encourage you to do those deep breathing techniques that Shakti mentioned to you. And really get centered in your body. Or take a nature walk and find 5 things to be grateful for every morning and 5 things to be grateful for every evening. Because gratitude will shift that anxiety. It will transform that anxiety and allow you to create the space. That's what our topic was tonight. Creating a sacred space or the container for your good to flow. I hope that helps you, Miss Maria. I hope that resonates with you, because we are out of time.
Excuse me. You know, see, you don't mind. Maybe I call another day. I know you're not good. There's so much. Maybe it's my phone or something. You're wrong. I know you're nothing. Maybe I call another time, another night.
That's fine. We have a live call show tomorrow. On Saturday at 11 a.m. Pacific and 2 p.m. Eastern, so you can call at that time, and hopefully you'll be able to figure out the phone issue. So thank you so much for calling. We really appreciate you calling in, Maria, and we wish you the best of luck. Let's see. Okay, so do we have any other callers for us today? Let's take a look here at the staff.
We are out of time.
Okay.
We are out of time.
Already?
Yeah.
Already? My goodness, where does the time go?
I know, time flies when you're having fun, huh?
I know, we could probably take this on for another 2 or 3 hours, which we won't.
All right.
We definitely could. Well, Maki, I have to say I really want to appreciate you and your wonderful topic about sacred spaces. I think we covered, oh my goodness, we covered so much in terms of where we're talking about spaces where, you know, people have prayed and devoted themselves to the goddess for centuries or thousands of years. We've talked about our own bodies being sacred spaces. We've talked about nature. We even touched on visualization and shamanic journeying. Oh, my goodness. We have to do a show on that one, too. So
thank you.
Thank you so much for your contribution on that. It was a wonderful talk about that. And so thank you. we will be Goddess. I'm sorry, I'm fumbling my words here. So the Goddess Guidance Show will be on next Friday at 5 p.m. This is a new time. We'll be there at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, and 1 a.m. in London. And we hope that you join us tomorrow for an open show with Dex Carlisle and Mary Brown. And it's open lines, meaning that you can ask it about anything and everything psychic. And if you want to catch our show, just go to visit psychictalk.net/live to catch all of our upcoming shows. So thank you, everybody. We love to have you here. Maki, you can bid them adieu. Let's bid our listeners adieu.
Good night, everyone. Next week we'll do part two of our sacred spaces, and I will lead you into a brief meditation at the end of the call to actually honor the sacred spaces in you. So next week we will be part touring our sacred space and exactly what that is and means. All right, so I'm excited about it. Thank you so much for joining us. We really, really appreciate your listening audience and your listening ears. Tell a friend, tell your sister, tell your brother, tell your mother, tell everyone about the Goddess Guidance Show on Psychic Talk Network. We are excited about our new time. Don't forget, next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 a.m. in the U.K., so we are having a wonderful time here, and we invite you to join us. Have a wonderful evening, everybody. God is blessing to you and yours.
Yes. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for being on the show, listening in.
Yes.
Bye. Bye, everybody. See you next time.
God is blessing.